admins and a mic, that's the name. Other podcasts, they're not the same. Smart conversation, zero fluff. Two admins and a mic, that's the good stuff. Brains behind brilliance, steady and bright. Welcome, we're two admins and a mic.
Welcome to Two Admins and a Mic. I'm Melinda Vail Goodnight.
And I'm Diana Hansen.
Hey, Diana. And we are so excited to have the infamous Sunny Noonan with us today. She is the CEO and founder of the Admin Awards, based out of Dallas, Texas. And she is the daughter of an executive secretary. And I want Sunny to talk about her mom a little bit. We just lost her recently, so I want Sunny to give an homage to her and why she meant so much in this space. So how's it going, Sunny?
I'm loving being on this podcast. Congratulations, long overdue. So excited for y'all.
Hey, this is 5-6 years in the making, Diana?
Yeah, we talked about this for a while.
Yeah.
Everybody does it who... They're not admins, but they tell us how to be an admin.
This is true. Now, in all honesty, Sunny's not an admin either. Have you ever been an admin? Okay.
Did you just meet me? Like, low detail. Forget what I said 15 minutes ago. No, I am not all the things it takes to be a successful EA, and I never will be.
Hey,
but I had a close-up view of one, as you know.
I do know. And what's one of my favorite questions to ask you? When are you going to get an EA? That is my favorite question to ask her.
Hey, listen, you know the story. So I would hire an EA that had never been an EA. And that was before the pandemic. He was with us for about 2 years and nicest guy. But he had no tech skills. You know, I blame Southwest, you know, hire for personality and spirit, and we could teach people skills. Well, guess what? You can teach people skills if they want to learn them. But if they don't, you got a whole bunch of other problems. And that was ultimately what happened. And he said, if I have to learn how to type at the age of 50, I'm in the wrong profession.
What was he, 80 years old?
Yeah, or 12.
And luckily he resigned right before what we now know is the pandemic. And I loved him and I hated it. But, you know, you got to be tech proficient in this day and age, no matter really what field you're in, if you're in business.
Well, I would think as fast as you guys move, because you guys move at the speed of light, you've got to be more than proficient. You've got to be, I mean, and I get you move at the speed of light. And for those who don't know, for those that have never met Sunny or been a part of the Admin Awards, Sunny's husband, Ben Noonan, is the COO of the Admin Awards. And I have no idea how Ben has not smothered her in her sleep. I'll swear to God. I have no idea. Ben is a saint. I love working with Ben. And Sunny is just such a friend that we just love on each other. She kind of says, I mean...
In my defense, he is an aerospace engineer and I am a creative. Can you imagine what a day in the life of our marriage looks like, much less two people that work together?
I have the same problem.
Okay.
Diana, how do you...
My husband's a chemist and I'm an artist. And it's like, he says stuff and it just goes right over my head. I'm like, can you bring that down to like my level?
How do you even let him talk?
I know. And sometimes he doesn't stop.
Oh my gosh, mine too.
One of my favorite stories is they're all setting up for a gala. So I don't even know what market we were in. And we're all in the room and it gets really stressful. Not for me. I mean, I'm there to present. I'm just there for the frivolity of watching all the bullshit that's going on, you know, getting ready for the gala. And Sunny is just... I don't even remember what Ben did, but Sunny is just railing against the machine. And somebody in the back said, Sunny begins to tell Ben how to do something. and somebody in the back with a mic booming, isn't Ben, isn't he like an astronaut? It was hilarious. Dinah, you want to go first with question?
No, I want to hear about her mom. That totally impresses me. Let's start with her mom.
About Jeanette.
I just lost my mom too, so I feel you.
It's so hard, Dinah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
She's not in pain, and that's all I think about. But let's hear about your mom. My mom was a medical EA, so.
Oh, my gosh.
So you come from the stock, too.
Yeah.
And my daughter's an EA.
That is really, really amazing. God, what a legacy. What a legacy. Three generations. So my mom got her secretarial certificate in the late 50s. And was a career executive secretary when she wasn't raising kids. My mom and dad had five kids. So there was a period of time where she stayed home, but on an electrician's salary, that doesn't go very far when you've got five kids and a 14-year spread between the youngest and the oldest. So my mom was the executive secretary to presidents and CEOs of small companies during the heyday of her career. She and my dad ended up getting divorced after 41 years of marriage, which put her back in the job market at 65. She decides to move from Pennsylvania to Texas, where I was with my family and two young kids. I just had my second son, my second child, Scout, and my oldest daughter is Sydney. And she decided to start over and move from New Jersey to Texas, where she knew all of four people, me, my ex-husband, and my two kids, which, you know, at the time I thought it was crazy. And now it's like, my gosh, what courage did that take to start over and to re-enter the workforce? She had been retired for, I think, about 5 years at the time. So she re-enters the workforce and the company I was working at, which was a tech company, hired her, Epsilon, to be receptionist. And what I always tell people is, yes, during the heyday, she was an executive secretary to CEOs of small businesses, but where she made her biggest impact truly was as the receptionist of that technology company. You know, the first person to, in a really pleasant, welcoming way, we're full-blooded Italian, so we have a lot of love in our hearts for people and we tend to see people. And my mom was certainly that way. And so she was that person that would greet, you know, nervous applicants in this soothing, welcoming way. She was as respectful, and I giggle and say probably even more respectful to the courier that would come in every day than the CEO who walked through the doors, right? And she just saw people, you know, deaths, divorces, promotions, all the stuff that happens in the lives of coworkers. She was there for it. She was mama. She had five biological kids, my mom and dad did, but she had hundreds of people that called her mama. People would get in trouble for hanging out in reception. She just loved people. She also was no bullshit. Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
We encourage it.
We encourage it. Go ahead.
Right into you and get mad, not me for change. But, you know, she was no bullshit. She did not suffer fools. She passed away, as you mentioned earlier, in December of this past December 2025. You know, it's interesting. Very close to my mom. We spent a bunch of time together. And I heard a lot of stories, but it wasn't until she passed that I really started to tune into things in her life that were revealed through the many things she saved. And one of the things she saved was a box full of rejection letters, copies of applications. And one thing stood out. Apparently, she applied for a job and left within 2 weeks. And when she had to explain why, on another application, she said the job was not as advertised. You know, way back then, you know, in the 80s, she was just not having it. I also know she left a job that she really needed after she was single because she did not respect the CEO of a company and did not like the way he treated the young women in the office. And she left. And I don't know that I knew all these things. You know, I don't think I was paying attention, but she is the inspiration for everything we do. A quick Cliff Notes version, I was working at a media company and saw that there were all these award programs for CEOs and entrepreneurs and lawyers and et cetera, but there wasn't one for executive assistants. And I went to my boss at the time and said, hey, I think we should create this. I don't think we need to knock off the business journals or cranes and create another awards program that recognizes the people that frankly already get too much recognition, if you ask me, but let's recognize recognize their executive assistants because my mom is in the profession and I know how much they love her. And they wouldn't let me run with that idea. And long story short, I ended up leaving that company, interestingly, not to start the Advent Awards. It was to start something else that people that I was trying to sell things to wanted that we weren't offering. So I started a company, Core 24, which I had for 9 years, but 3 years into that, I created the Admin Awards because I was like, it was gnawing at me. I'm like, if I don't do it, somebody else is gonna, and they're not gonna do it in the same spirit with the same attention that I felt like it needed to have. Because, you know, business journals, they're great, all the magazines, but there are a lot of watered down recognition programs that frankly are money grabs. And I knew that if I didn't do it, somebody else wouldn't. Again, it wouldn't do the communities, the service, right? And in a way that I really felt like would capture the spirit and the significance of people like you. And so that's a Cliff Notes version on the Admin Awards. But back to my mom, she was an incredible example of what it meant to be a really strong woman. She had a high school diploma. She didn't have a college degree. She was one of the smartest people I've ever met, read probably thousands of books in her lifetime. Interestingly, I found something she wrote and typed in the early 70s. It was because her last name was Pacenti. It was before she married my dad, so clearly before I was born. But it was all about the importance of voting. And in this piece that she wrote, it was a warning to what would happen if people didn't exercise their right to vote, which she saw as a threat to our country's democracy. And to read that a couple weeks ago, in light of everything that's going on in our country, knowing she wrote that, I'm going to share it. I just haven't had a chance to. She was a pioneer. She invented pantyhose before pantyhose did. She said, I had that idea a long time ago, long before pantyhose. And so that was my mom. I think I get my entrepreneurial spirit from her. She was a problem solver. I could talk about her for an hour. I'll stop. But yeah, she's pretty extraordinary. And I miss her crazy.
Tell us her name.
Jeanette Marie Pacenti Castellano. In her later years, after she divorced my dad, she was pissed off and wanted to like get back at him for nothing. He didn't do anything, but just get back at him for existing and for being married to him for so long. She said, I am going to go by Pacenti Castellano. So we honor that now. Yeah,
I love that.
You need a Lifetime Achievement Award named after her.
We have it. Anna, we created it at our 10-year anniversary. I don't think it, well, you know what? We didn't have one in Philly when you won.
Right.
We don't have one in every market in every year. So it would make sense you would be unaware of it, but we do have it. We've honored everyone from Joan Burge to Joanne Linden, to Beverly Robinson, who's the EA to Bishop T.D. Jakes, to June Weidman, who is from Abilene, Texas, she's got a day named after her in the city of Abilene. We've had amazing honorees.
That is cool.
Susan Walsh, EA to the CEO of Converse, 35 years, outlasted four CEOs. She was a recipient.
She's amazing.
So you guys need to have her on here.
Yeah, we do, for sure.
Your mom was just
number one, she was a pill, but the apple didn't fall far from the tree. So I just see her in you so much. So you've got a great legacy. And I love the way you talk about her and you just beam when you do. So I really love that. Okay. First question. You're in a lot of markets across the country. You're hearing things that sometimes we don't hear. What are you hearing these days? Are you hearing salary, AI, job descriptions? So, you know, the big thing I think a lot of us are dealing with are pool EAs versus one leader EA. Talk to us a little bit about what you're hearing.
Yeah. I don't know if it's good news or bad news. I am hearing everything you just referenced. I am hearing, you know, clearly concern around what's going on in companies when it comes to, you know, workforce reduction. You know, we were in Australia, my husband's Australian, and we were over there for a wedding and a birthday a couple months ago. And sure enough, I'm looking at the local news and KPMG had laid off 200 admins and they said they're offshoring those roles, right? So it's happening here. It's happening overseas. You know, I'm hearing from the admin community, it's the full gamut, right? It's, I work at an amazing company. I have an amazing boss. They pour into us. They understand the impact we're making. I feel appreciated. And in the next conversation, it'll be, my God, they just don't get it. And it's everything when they say they just don't get it. It is, I don't have a career path. Compensation isn't what it should be. I know I'm underpaid. I don't have balance. Professional development isn't there. Like, it's the full gamut. But here's the reality, guys. And I'm going to say guys because I'm from Jersey and I'm Italian. So maybe I'll say ladies, but I have to think about that. I'm not going to say
you. I speak Jersey.
You're from where I'm from. And yeah. Melinda is an honorary Yankee, which is why I love her. So it's always been just the full gamut. And, you know, I think for me, you know, I have to have these really negative experiences to remind me of the importance in our mission, which I think is, it's always been important. I think it's even more important today than 15 years ago because, you know, and I'm writing more about this, right? A profession that has been sort of heralded for being taskmasters and, you know, all these things that people see when we know it's the impact that is the value in this profession. And that impact is, it's seen in a lot of different ways, right? It's seen in the high value, very technical skills, high IQ, EQ, problem solving, resourcefulness, like all those things that I know you both understand, but it's also valued for the things that maybe this next generation might view as is beneath them. The turkey sandwich that lands on a desk at 2 o'clock, because somebody notices their exec is hungry and they understand. I mean, they just need to eat, right? Brandi Whitson, I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent. She won the Colleen Barrett Award in Dallas this last year, Melinda. And she was on an info session recently and she said, you know, it was crazy. In the same nomination, I had people reference the protein bars that sit under my desk that have a little sign, you know, help yourself to, you know, acknowledgement that I changed the way the executive leadership team communicates. Think of that spectrum, right? That small human moment to that strategic, you know, contribution. We see it all the time. So I think a lot's going on in the profession. I do think there's a lot of disparity around pay. That's always been an issue. I think the job continues to be very multifaceted. You've got admins that are super empowered, that are, you know, I'll ask for forgiveness later, to administrative professionals that wake up every day and feel like I'm just lucky I have a job. Yeah. And everything in between. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And I would love to say that that gives me comfort. But, you know, there's, you know, but I say that tongue in cheek because there are people out there like Brandi Whitson, who supports the CEO of Pizza Hut. She's badass and I love her. And what Sunny is referencing, the call, I happen to be on that call also, was Sunny is doing Imagine Admin for Administrative Professionals Month. And I just happened to get to speak at this, along with how many others? There's 40?
There are 40. There are 40 speakers. We were going to have 30 and we realized we could cut into some other programming and just let more great admins speak. So we've got a good lineup, an amazing lineup.
But I say, you know, tongue in cheek about there are people out there like Doug Conant, number one, who is a huge proponent of executive support. And he is the reason Diana and I are able to do what we're doing here. And he is helping us to fulfill a passion and a dream. Lucy Brazier is, you know, another person out there that is just, you know, she's, you know, pushing that huge ball up the mountain. And there are people out there that, you know, when I get discouraged, then I see that there are other people, they're trying, they're doing the work. And as much as AI is playing, and AI plays a huge part in what I do every day, but I don't, and in the beginning, I was a real naysayer about, I thought this role would be diminished and not really carry enough weight to carry on. I don't think that way anymore. I think that we are just getting new tools and are able to do new things faster and thus maybe support more than one leader. So as much as, you know, I want to be a strategic partner, maybe that doesn't happen in the future for other admins. Okay, Diana, you got a question?
I'm going to switch over to the admin awards now.
Yeah, let's just be clear. Wait just a second. Let's just be clear. Diana has won, and I am forever a freaking bridesmaid and has never won. I've been nominated. My God, I am never doing that again. A heart can only take so much rejection.
You're the Susan Lucci of the admin awards.
Yes. Here's what I'm going to say. And listen, I always say this, and I probably shouldn't say it as the founder of the admin awards, but I'm going to be real honest because you know I'm a straight shooter. What matters more than anything is not who wins the admin awards. It is an incredible honor. It absolutely is. But y'all, the judges only go off of written nominations, right? They don't see everything you do all day, all year, right? All career. So what I always tell people is, man, if your executive coworkers took the time to recognize you through the written nominations, you've won. That is, all that matters. Melinda, it's happened again and again. And here's the other reality. I mean, how many execs have you supported since we start? You know, they retire, they leave. Like, I mean, come on. So,
so my question is, what separates a good admin from an award worthy one? What can a good admin do to get to award worthy?
It's interesting. We actually recently did a study, and we analyzed thousands of nominations over the past several years, and we looked at some of the common characteristics of award-winning admins. So the first thing, which I just mentioned, is, you know, it's range, right? It's that admin that has the ability to be super high-level strategic, right? But isn't too big to do the little things, putting a sticky note in your boss's folder that says, cheer up, we've got this. Like, those little things are the things that come up again and again and again in the nominations. And actually, true story. Robin, oh God, what was her last name? I forget, but she's the EA to the president of Roche Diagnostics. And she was nominated for the Spirit Award. And her boss said, I'm going to first tell you all the high level strategic things she does. She's a de facto CFO. We're in a heavily regulated, compliant, driven environment. And when I wake up in the morning and that text message shows up with all kinds of sunshine and rainbow emojis encouraging me when I'm about to start my day, when that sticky note shows up, you know, I've just taken on this position. I had to move states, couldn't find housing. My mother had just passed. And when that sticky note shows up in my file that says, chin up, we've got this, those are the things that matter. So that range comes up again and again. I think, and probably the most uneloquent way that I could say this is having balls. You know, I think a lot of admins think they have job stability if they know their place. Always be respectful, but I think a willingness to speak the truth is critical, and to be able to tell people things they don't need to hear, that they don't want to hear, but that they need to hear is also a common thread. We also see a sense of humor showing up in a lot of the profiles of award-winning admins, right? They don't take themselves too seriously. Yes. They're not afraid to, you know, poke their executive, right, when they need to be. And so I think that shows up. Obviously, skills, really, really critical. EQ continues to be emotional intelligence, that thing that execs really, really value, helps them see their blind spots, helps soften communications. So those are some of the things that we see. Here's the other thing. I think a lot about this. Serving executives the way they want to be served. Remember, Melinda, I shared before Colleen Barrett passed away, the legendary executive assistant at Southwest that went on to become president and COO. I asked her if she had like one word of advice to admins. I thought she was going to say something like, I don't want to say more profound because I think this is profound in all of its simplicity, but she said, you know, I would tell admins to treat people the way they want to be treated. And Herb Kelleher would have taken that a step farther, and he would say, serve people the way they want to be served.
Yes.
One of the things that came up on Imagine Admin, and you're going to hear from her, but Larissa is one of the admins speaking. She also is an award-winning admin in one of our markets. And she said, very long story short, she was put in a role supporting a CEO that did not want high-level strategic support, if I could just kind of you know, be frank for a minute, he wanted somebody to do tactical, very traditional stuff. He wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. And she wasn't wrong for not being a fit for that executive anymore. So she took a role, I think, supporting the COO, which some would have viewed as a demotion or a step down. For her, it wasn't. It was about the work, not about the title that she was supporting. So I think there's always going to be a real spectrum of how execs want to be supported. And I think the important thing is for, you know, admins to know thyself and to know where do you want to be. And it's not wrong to want to do the tactical blocking and tackling all day. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's also nothing wrong with somebody that wants to be high level strategic as well. Now, the other thing, a little bit of a beef I have in this profession right now, you got a lot of people telling you what title you should want, what career path you should want. And I think that's wrong. I think only you know what's right for you, what kind of work is right for you. I also want to say this, and I know I'm getting off on a tangent, Diana, so you could smack me and say, stay on topic. Nope.
I'll go all jersey on you.
Yeah. The other thing that I struggle with is, you know, you got a lot of keyboard warriors out there stirring the pot on LinkedIn and finding solutions to problems we don't have. You want to know a problem we don't have? How people compliment admins.
Exactly.
Please don't start telling executives what they're not allowed to say when they say, you know, listen, I know you hate when it's called magic. To them, it looks like magic because you make it look so easy and effortless. They call you the glue. They call you the ride or die. Like, these are all terms of endearment and compliments that really are just meant to make sure you know how valued you are. You know, back to award-winning admins, I think, you know, those are some of the top characteristics that we see showing up again and again. And also, how well is a nomination written? How much thought did the exec put into it? How much time did they take? And also, y'all, you make it look so easy. They don't know half of the things you do in a day's time. And so I do think, you know, admins playing a role, an active role in their nomination and saying, okay, I need to see the nomination because I guarantee you forgot a whole bunch of stuff, right? So that also plays.
That's true. Okay.
And Melinda, I shouldn't have to tell you everything. They should just know.
They
no,
should
I'm not
just know.
Tell them how to work my nomination. They should just know. So, you know, there's some of that plays into it as well.
Okay. So another question, you know, admins don't feel like we're always in the background, you know, and I know what you're talking about, Sunny, with DCEO. I mean, there's all kind of awards out there. And what would you say to that? And you and I have had this conversation before because I struggled with it in the beginning because it's instead of embracing it, it was almost like I didn't deserve it. Because I had been told for years that I didn't. And it took me a long time to get comfortable in that seat of being recognized. And you're right. Just the nomination, when you see that you're nominated and you sit in a gala with all of these women and men who are badass and do extraordinary things every day. And then you have finalists, and you may be a finalist amongst your peers. It's amazing. So with all that said, talk to all of us about how do you get comfortable with that? Do you have any suggestions?
So first, I'm going to say, I think, you know, when you look at the future of this profession, and when you see things that come out, like I think it was the economic index that Anthropic put out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
At the very top, it was 90% of administrative jobs are going to be replaced by AI or have the potential to be or at risk of being replaced. I think you look at that chart and what it meant to me is that's the cost of misunderstanding the administrative profession. And Melinda knows this because nothing drives me crazier than when an administrative professional gets nominated for the admin awards and they say, thank you, but no, thank you. I would rather not be in the spotlight. I'm sorry. You don't have the luxury of not showing people what modern day great administrative professionals look like, the achievements, the impact, the very quantifiable results, right? Like, and I frankly think that the lack of recognition is what has held this profession back for too long. And shame on trade organizations that while they're selling educational resources and seats at conferences, to not have a public recognition initiative to help deconstruct these outdated stereotypes that still exist. I mean, that is a problem. And so I think public recognition is the most effective, most efficient path to showing the world what modern day administrative professionals look like, what they do, how they contribute. And so for admins that are not comfortable with recognition, I want to challenge them, because here's what I think is going on. And I really, really appreciate this. And I also relate to it. So you've got absolutely zero self-advocacy, no recognition. And then you've got what we see on LinkedIn, which is all, you know, the humble bragging stuff that goes on.
Yes.
The ickiness.
Yes.
The kind of chest pounding, the arrogance. Like, we don't like that. And I think, and I'm included, we overcorrect and we don't do anything to self-advocate. We don't do anything to share our achievements, our successes, things we're proud of. And I think there's a cost to that. And I think the cost is people don't have a modern view of what admins are doing to contribute to not just the success of their leaders, but to the success of their organizations, their industry that they're in, right? That their company operates in, but their profession. So what I would say is, man, it's not about you. You owe the profession, right? You owe the profession your recognition, right?
Yeah.
That's what I
like that.
It's not about you. The profession needs it.
Why do you think it took so long for public recognition?
Listen, you know, when I wanted to start this at the magazine, they didn't want me to run with it for two reasons. Number one, they said they didn't think it was going to make money. That's their North Star in publishing. Let's be clear. And second, they didn't think anybody would nominate their admins for fear that they would be poached if people knew who the really good ones were. Now, remember, this was in the mid 2000s before LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram wasn't even a thing back then, I don't think. So now everybody knows where everybody works, what they do, titles, who they work for, all that good stuff. So I think part of it was, you know, listen, the same frustrations that you have being in the profession, I experienced, but in a different way, right? Is public recognition really important in the administrative profession? Listen, I tell people what I do, and nobody ever says that doesn't make sense. What do they say? They're the people that do all the work and get none of the credit. Well, why is that? It's like that's a badge of honor instead of a call for change, and it drives me bonkers, right? So I think, Diana, part of it is, you have trade organizations that are focused on professional development and conferences and education, which is critical. It's critical. They do very important work. And I just think nobody thought to create a public recognition program. I don't know why, but they didn't. And I think the magazines and the business journals were so focused on the people that they view as decision makers that can write checks, they overlooked, I think, one of the most powerful communities out there that, you know, people call you gatekeepers. I giggle. I know the purchasing power that executive assistants have. It's in the tens of thousands of dollars. We see it all the time. I think that's just the same ignorance, right, that you guys deal with, we deal with. So I'm kind of glad that nobody did before 2012, because we got to create it and we got to do it the right way. So, you know, I don't know, because this profession dates back 250 years with Tobias Lear, Washington's personal secretary. Yeah.
Who I got to feature a couple of years ago.
You did. You read Tobias Lear's story.
I did. I had never heard of him, and now I know all about him. Yep. Okay. So what I find interesting also is these EAs, executive assistants, admins, coordinators, specialists, office managers, chief of staffs, whatever it is, whomever is nominated, I have had the honor and privilege. One of the greatest things I get to do at Southwest Airlines is present the Colleen Barrett Award at the Admin Awards. And let me tell you, it's a fight. There are about four or five of us that, I mean, we will duke it out on who gets to go and present this award, because number one, galas are fun. I'm a girl. I'm such a girl. I get to dress up. I get to go and meet all of these amazing people. And it has been an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to do this. But where I'm going with this is I have been in the room where these winners have stood and couldn't talk because they were so overwhelmed with emotion for winning. I've seen winners that have brought their fathers, their family from France. I think when I was in Silicon Valley a couple of years ago, I mean, it has been amazing to watch. And yeah, you get a few that, and you can tell those that are pretty self, but those are not the norm. I mean, these women and men too, they're overwhelmed with emotion and gratitude. And the greatest thing that ever started happening, in my opinion, is their direct leader speaks also. And to hear their leader speak about them in this room of 600, 800, 900 people is, to me, freaking, that would be the biggest award of the night, of hearing my leader speak while I'm standing there. I just think it's amazing. I have come to love the awards. And in the beginning, I wasn't much of a, I wasn't. And it, I became very quickly though.
I love that. One thing I want to mention is the humility that I think.
Oh my gosh.
The majority of our winners and Diana, yes. You know, you don't talk about being a winner near enough. You know, as I describe the people that have won at the Admin Awards, I think that is an absolute common thread. I mean, the humility is definitely something.
Definitely.
And it's this balancing act, right? Like to be proud of what you do and confident and also really humble, I think is important. I think humility is important in every profession. And yeah.
I think humility is a huge piece of what we do every day, because one of my favorite stories of ever is I'm on the phone with the audit chair. I support and have supported the CAE at Southwest Airlines. And so I'm on the phone trying to schedule a meeting with the audit chair. And, you know, he's in San Antonio or somewhere, and we're on the phone. And one of my little team members walks directly into my office. I have a phone to my ear, like a landline, not my cell phone, a landline. She walks in and says very loudly, "There are bugs in the ladies' restroom."
God.
That's your problem.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I just do this and say, okay, just a second. And I go back to finish my conversation with the audit chair. Can I say that loud enough? And when I hang up, I know I'm going to be dealing with bugs in the ladies' restroom. So yeah, I've run the gamut. So, and I don't think I think I am the norm. I think like Brandi Woodson had power bars. Take one. You know, she has ran the gamut. Diana has. So we're kind of used to that. And humility plays a huge role.
Do you care that she came to you about the bugs in the restroom?
No.
Are you like,
who was she going to go to? You know, you just do. You just deal
and,
with it.
I have the opposite story. I was working for the general counsel, and she was interviewing, and we actually had a guy come in. He put his hand out in front of me and said, "Are you someone I need to know?" And I thought, "I am now." And he didn't get a call back, but it was like, so I was speechless. I was like, am I just a blob sitting here? He literally, it's the first thing he said to me. And it blew my mind that somebody could actually say that and ask another human that, let alone somebody they're trying to get a job with.
Yeah, he didn't get a call back.
No, he didn't.
And that's I'd like to, you know, tell our audience who comes here to watch and listen and laugh. And that's what we hope you'll do, is there's all kinds of stories. And we want to hear those stories. So, okay, Sunny, we're coming up on time. There's one last question we ask all our guests at the end. And I think I know how you're going to answer this, but I don't know. What's one simple thing an admin can do tomorrow that actually matters?
I think a random act of kindness to somebody in their company that they sense might be a little down.
I love that. I thought you were going to say nominate for an admin award.
That is a very close second. Yes. I mean, listen. Thank you. I didn't even think of that. But let me tell you guys, like, that is it. It is, you know, we've been doing this for 15 years. And I don't know why everybody isn't rushing to their computers to nominate administrative professionals. A big challenge for us is just awareness, right? Like, there are so, even in Dallas, Texas, our home base, you know, our biggest market. There are so, we run into people all the time that have never heard of the Admin Awards. And I get excited because it's one new person that does. But then I'm like, my God, this is like, we have only scratched the surface. So thank you for that, Melinda. That is a very close second.
Agreed. Hey, thank you for being here today. We appreciate it. You're one of the very first of our guests and hope you'll come back and talk to us.
Thank you for having me. Good fun.
Hey, anytime you get to say bullshit or anything like that, you know, I'm in. So, all right. Thank you guys. Talk soon. Bye, Sunny.
Bye, y'all.